Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
They have chosen something to cater to the homosexual community, to cater to Hollywood, to cater to the big money people. They have chosen that course and just ignored the people that put the president where he is. The president is in the White House because of the civil rights movement, and I was a leader in that movement. And I didn't march 1 inch, 1 foot, 1 yard for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. So the president has forgotten the price that was paid, where people died, where they suffered, where they gave their blood to have equal rights in the United States. And for the homosexual community and for the president to bow to the money, as Judas did with Jesus Christ, is a disgrace, and we're ashamed.
It is time for Resona Radio on blogtalkradio.com. On August the 23rd, 2012, the Leo is over. We walk into virginity. Yes, the Virgo. I'm sure there are a lot of you out there, but the day of the Leo is over. I'm always saddened by that. I always feel like it's so short. Not like I was really paying attention to it, because I only look at it as real August babies as being Leo, so I almost feel like we only have 22 days. But that's just me. Nonetheless, welcome. Thank you. Welcome aboard. So glad that you are with us today. We've got plenty to talk about. A whole lot of late news coming in today, and I, of course, I want to talk about it all. There's a lot going on with this whole hurricane in Tampa, or at least, you know, going through Haiti and Port-au-Prince and all that other stuff. That's plenty of stuff to get into. I don't want to have a discussion about a goddamn hurricane, which apparently that's all the news wants to talk about, is the hurricane, the hurricane, the hurricane. Because weather, for some odd reason, is news. And I guess all they want to do is talk about the damage and all the displaced people and all the impoverished who will die. Because there will be deaths. There always is. Some people can't get to a hut in enough time, or a more fortified hut, so they will die. I'm just being honest, folks. That's just the way it is. And, of course, they'll be sending all their correspondents out there to go take care of them. So, to start off, I've got to talk about this story. I read stories like this all the time, and I'm a sports enthusiast. And being a former soccer coach, being a former soccer coach gave me an insight that I never had before, other than being in a little league team. Having played baseball as a child, I didn't play soccer as a child, I played baseball as a child, but having played baseball as a child, and, you know, wearing the uniform and learning, you know, to be a teammate, but then becoming a coach, that really gave me some insight on what this whole youth sports thing is about. Baseball in particular. Baseball, Little League Baseball is a very, very intense sport for parents. As you all know, you've seen those videos. You see them every year during baseball season. In fact, I think this is the only year where we didn't see a lot of stories on the news about parents flipping out and beating the hell out of umpires and things like that. I don't think we saw a lot of those. I know in the past years we have, but we didn't see a lot of that this year, which I'm stunned at. But it's usually a story that it sort of revolves around that sort of epidemic, if you will. And parents do take it seriously. They want their kids to compete. They want the umpires to see the call. You know, they don't want the kids being cheated, especially if the kid's going to lose, because they know that this is going to ruin their kid's self-esteem, and it's going to cost them thousands of dollars in therapy if they lose the peewee sport that the kid is involved in. That's just them. I don't care. I want my kid to lose. I need my kids to understand what losing is about, because winning is something that they appreciate more when they do. They get an ego from that when they win, because they understand failure. Kid always wins. He doesn't know how to lose. In fact, he's baffled by it. and he goes in some sort of weird recluse place, and you never see him again. He's wearing dark eye makeup, looking like The Undertaker from WWE. Walking around in dark clothing, calling himself the Mystical Dark One. He refuses to be called or answer to his regular name, doesn't eat macaroni and cheese at the dinner table, only likes to eat bugs and sugary substances. This is what I'm trying to explain to you. These sports are important to these kids, and they're much more important to the parents. Not that they should be, but they just are. So when I saw this story, I was perplexed in some sort of way. I'm sure you've heard the story. It comes out of the Associated Press, and this happened in Wayne, New Jersey. A New Jersey teenager left brain damage after being struck by a line drive off a metal bat while he was playing in a youth baseball game will receive $14.5 million to settle the lawsuit against the bat manufacturer, Little League Baseball, and a sporting goods chain. The settlement of Stephen Domlewski's lawsuit was announced in state superior court on Wednesday morning in Passaic County. The boy, who's now 18, lives in Wayne, New Jersey. His family had claimed that the metal bat was unsafe because baseballs could carom off it at faster speeds than wooden bats. Therefore, the trajectory, and this is me talking, not the story, the trajectory of the ball and the speed caused his brain damage. Okay, I don't know, but that's what they're claiming. The Domlewskis are still saddened by the tragic events of June of 2006, but this settlement provides them with some relief, comfort that Stephen will get the care he needs for the rest of his life. This is according to the family attorney, Ernest Franzuto. Franzuto is his name. Franzuto. Interesting. Anyway, he still can't perform any functions of daily life on his own. Now, Stephen D. Keener, who's the president and CEO of Little League Baseball, Inc., said the settlement guarantees that Stephen Domlewski will receive the lifetime care that he will require as a result of his tragic accident, a type of accident that is extremely rare in youth baseball. Now, I'm not going to go into this whole story because it's rather long. It is lengthy. It goes into the whole deal. I'm pretty sure people are outraged at this, that this poor little boy got hit in the head with a ball. But let me tell you the atmosphere that this thing creates. And it's a bad one. And I'm going to tell you what it is that I see here. You got a lot of scumbags in the world, ladies and gentlemen. They are scumbags out there. And I'm telling you that a settlement like $14.5 million in a youth baseball game awarded to a kid who got crammed in the head, and I get it. I understand that he might be damaged for life. But this is youth baseball. This is a sport. You're going to have scumbags out there. You know what they're going to say, folks. They're going to say, Timmy, listen to me. This kid, he's 145 pounds soaking wet. But he can hit that ball. Now, if it comes your way towards second base, I want you to lean into that ball with all of your might. And I want you to act like you're about to catch it and let it catch you right in the face. Don't worry about it. You'll be a vegetable. Oh, but Daddy's got a scheme. Did you ever hear of the Domlewski kid? Yeah, he lives up the street in Wayne. $14.5 million, my son. But Daddy, I won't be able to play at school. Don't sweat it, son. We'll be able to buy your friends with that kind of money. Now lean in. Hurry up. We can't set a precedent like this. I mean, if that's the case, just end the sport. Just stop sports altogether. There's no way that you can tell me that this kid is in a sport where you've seen people get injured. You know people get injured. You know that they're using metal bats. For Pete's sake, if it had been a wooden bat and the same thing had happened, what would they have asked for? $14.5 million from Louisville Slugger? I mean, seriously. What country have we turned into where every move that we make is now subject to litigation? Look, I don't know about you, but let me tell you this from the bottom of my heart. If there's anything that I know is that kids normally join sports for the risk. They play sports for the risk. And it's not just the risk of beating someone else at the sport or knocking them down or shoving and pushing. Because kids get off on that. They feel as though they get to exert that kind of energy and angst and anger and frustration. They get to do that on the court. And at the end of the game, they're sweating, they stink, they're dirty. Kids get something out of that. But what kids like is the idea that there's another kid out there trying to beat the crap out of them. That there's somebody out there that wants to beat them at the game. And that person is probably going to tackle them and grab them and throw them to the ground. And he's going to be in pushing and shoving and all that. Kids like that. Kids get off on that. There's a thing that's just innate in children, as each and every one of us. We as children get off on the idea that we can run around and push each other around, that we might suffer a broken arm or a broken leg. Nowadays, a broken arm, and at least in mainstream communities, in mainstream communities, a broken arm or a broken leg is a rite of passage. Kids like the idea of walking in with a cast that people can run around and sign. Hey, Timmy, heard you broke your arm, man. Good man, that's a good move. How'd you break your arm?
Oh, yeah, I was playing football.
Wow, really? You play football? What position do you play?
I'm a halfback.
I was like, wow, man, what happened? He's like, yeah, so the guy tackled me, and I went down on my leg and snapped. He's like, oh, and I was on there, I was screaming. I was like, oh, you want to sign a cast? That's what kids are like. Kids play sports because there is a possibility of injury. Well, at least normal kids. Punk bitch kids sit in the house and pretend to kill people on Xbox and PlayStation 3. But real kids want to get out there and get knocked down. They want to run through the mud. They want an excuse for somebody to throw them through a big giant puddle of mud. Kids are looking for that excuse. So for this kid to get beamed in the head, I know, parents, I get it. I understand. Yes, your kid got beamed, and he's, okay, and I understand, he's brain damaged. I'm not making light of that. But it's a part of the risk and why they play, and we cannot be rewarding that with $14.5 million. Now, should they have been able to sue? Absolutely. Should they have been able to get some sort of compensation and make sure that that boy lived a comfortable life for the rest of it? Absolutely. But if you are going to tell me that $14.5 million in a random accident, like a Little League baseball game, a random accident with an aluminum bat, we're going to blame the aluminum bat, we're blaming the Little League that he signed up to play for. He wasn't recruited like in the 1950s for war. Nobody went to his house and said, hey, Timmy, yeah, listen, you're 12 now, get on the field. Well, no, I'm sorry, your parents can't help you. It's the law in Wayne, New Jersey. Those kids who turn 12 like Spartans have to go to war. And you are going to be playing for the Domino Liquor Company, Little League Baseball Team. Well, get your cleats and get on out of here. That's not what happened. This kid went out, joined the team, parents put him in there. I mean, for crying out loud, what if you find out that the kid never wanted to play the sport in the first place, but dad said, this will toughen you up. This will teach you teamwork. This will teach you winning and losing. And mom and dad are responsible for putting little Timmy into the game. Well, his name is Stephen, but I like using the term Timmy. Timmy's in the game because mom and dad thought this would be good for him. The boy needs activities. Shouldn't the parents be sued for putting him in harm's way? We'll treat them like George W. Bush. Kid was sitting in the house minding his own business, playing Bang Bang Shoot 'Em Up Nigga Die Slow Part 3 on Xbox, and now all of a sudden he's on the Domino Liquor Store's Little League Baseball team. Somebody explain to me how now the Aluminum Bat Company, how the Little League Baseball Company, and whomever else is involved in this, how they are now liable for $14.5 million collectively. Somebody explain to me how that works. Because it definitely shouldn't work that way. This is where the problem... It's aside from the fact that we say this a million times, that this constant litigious world that we live in today, everybody sued for everything. But the kid is out playing a sport that he recruited. I mean, he pretty much set out to go play. His parents went out and made him play. The parents put him out in harm's way. And now everything that happens on the court is somebody else's. What is going to happen if a kid breaks an arm playing football? What happens if a kid breaks a leg playing soccer? I mean, and these leagues, these little league leagues that are put up in all of these areas. Like, and when I was in Fort Lee, there was a community based, you know, Fort Lee, a little league, a Fort Lee Soccer League, in fact, what it was called. Fort Lee Soccer League. Now, this is a community of guys. They all get together. They pull their money in. You know, they get uniforms, and they do the whole nine yards, and you pay them, you know, to get the uniforms and be a part of it. And the kid goes out there, and if my kid breaks a leg, my kid breaks a leg. He cries. He screams. We take him to the hospital. We get him patched up. It's, you know, it's collateral. It happens. This is why you put your kid out there. But, you know, it's not like you ask your kids to go out into the soccer field and joust, for crying out loud.
Now get out there, Johnny, and don't forget, use that fencer to stick it right in that kid's heart.
No, they're going around running and pushing. You know there's an element of danger. There's an element in danger in sports, period. But if the little league companies know that they're going to be sued for an errant baseball to that kid's head, there are so many possibilities now. I'm sorry, I know there are some sick bastards out there. One of these kids is going to say, hey, you heard about Timmy? Yeah, man, he got beaten in the head. His parents got $14.5 million. Wow, I wish I could get beaten in the head. Hey, Johnny, next time you're up to bat, hit it my way. I'm going to lean in. That's what's going to happen. If you don't think so, trust me. Trust me. Kids are stupid, and parents are ridiculous. They're going to do this. It's the most frightening thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Just to look at the amount of money that was paid here. Just looking at it. And how many people were sued for crying out loud. I'm trying to remember. Let me see if I can remember. If I can see what the third group was. A sporting goods chain was the third one. So it's the bat manufacturer. They're liable. They make the bat. The Little League Baseball. In and of itself, they were sued. And a sporting goods chain, they were also sued. So now, I mean, a sporting goods chain? I don't know. I just don't get it. It's like everything that you do is... I don't get it. I just don't get it. It makes no sense to me. But this is what happened. And it probably is going to happen... It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. And I don't know how any of these companies, I don't know how Little Leagues protects themselves, and I damn sure don't know how a sporting goods chain is going to protect itself now. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but this is the state of our union. Well, stick around. We'll get some comments from the guys. Stick around. We'll be right back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Are you tired of government picking favorites in business? Is red tape making it impossible for you to earn a living? When private businesses collude with the government to exclude competition, you get cronyism. How do you get rid of it? You can try passing laws, but that only covers up the problem. There's a better solution.
Hi, Willie Bays here with another fantastic product. Crony Clean, the spray that breaks down cronyism by breaking down government bureaucracy. Normal products attack the side effects of cronyism by passing more laws and business regulations. But Crony Clean is different. It targets the root cause of cronyism, too much government. Using proven political science, Crony Clean eliminates the government influence on business, giving everyone the right to make a living. No more concentrated benefits, no more dispersed costs. America! Why waste your time and money fighting an uphill battle against special interest groups? With Crony Clean, you have the power to fight. Crony Clean can be applied to restore economic liberty, property rights, the First Amendment, and much more. Order now and receive Crony Clean for the unbelievable price of nothing. Just pay fewer taxes. But wait, there's more. Call in the next 20 minutes and you'll receive a free gift, the Dollar Deflator. It forms a strong barrier to protect your dollar savings from inflation. Keep America free by keeping the government out of businesses. Order now.
Offer not available in Washington, D.C. and surrounding areas. Side effects may include more economic freedom, jobs, less corruption, and improved quality of life. If you're a politician or lobbyist, please consult your doctor before using Crony Clean. Order today.
This is Bob. Bob is a normal guy. He has a good job. He works hard to provide for his family. And he tries to keep himself informed on current events. There's just one problem.
I don't think President Obama is doing a very good job.
Bob is a racist. There's nothing worse than having a racist around saying hateful things.
I don't think it's unreasonable for people to have to show ID when they go vote.
Whoa, Bob. Slow down with the bigotry for just a minute. People like Bob are still very upset that there's a black man in the White House. As a result, they oppose President Obama's policies. Not because they're bad policies, but because they just don't like black people. How could anyone oppose such great policies? They're awesome and are working super well.
But how do I talk about my political beliefs without being a racist?
Let's give Bob a few pointers on how not to be racist.
Did you know that under President Obama, more people are on food stamps than ever before?
Bob. That's racist. Just because something is true doesn't mean that it's not bigoted.
But how can something be racist if it's true?
That's a racist question.
We need to secure our southern border to stem the tide of illegal immigration.
Racist! Calling undocumented workers illegal simply because they're here illegally is proof that you hate Mexicans.
My adopted son is Mexican.
Doesn't matter, still racist.
I see.
I like Barack Obama. He's a light-skinned African-American with no Negro dialect.
Now that's racist.
Nope, not so fast there, Bob. It's only racist if it's said by someone who doesn't support President Obama and his policies. Susie is a Democrat, so it's okay if she says it.
That doesn't make any sense.
Sure it does. A liberal can't be racist. It's not possible because liberals support the things that are good for the black community.
So a conservative and a liberal can say exactly the same thing, but only the conservative is racist for saying it.
Now you're getting it, Bobby. For example, when a conservative politician says something that's not directly racist, but is construed that way by liberals, he loses his job, like Majority Leader Trent Lott. But when a Democrat in the same position turns out to be a former Klansman, like Majority Leader Robert Byrd, he's a liberal hero!
It's all starting to make sense now. So I can say all sorts of racist stuff as long as I vote for the right people.
Right. So if Susie says,
I am so proud of myself for voting in the first African-American president in 2008.
Her statement has no racial implications whatsoever. But if someone says,
I voted for Barack Obama last time, but I'm thinking about voting for Mitt Romney this year.
That person is totally racist.
Hold on a second. How can someone who voted for Barack Obama the first time be racist just because they don't vote for him this time? They obviously didn't care about his skin color before.
Sometimes people don't realize that they're racist until later.
How can someone become a racist in 4 years?
That's a clown question, bro.
I'm so confused. I don't want to see the country go down the toilet, but I also don't want the people at work to think I'm a racist.
Well, remember, Bob, if the country is ruined, you can always blame it on George W. Bush.
You're right. I'm going to vote for Barack Obama because I'm not a racist.
Way to go, Bobby. Remember, racism in the workplace is never cool.
I'm Barack Obama, and I've never seen this ad. Didn't even know it existed.
On the radio, 25 minutes after the hour, we are back. We're talking about this this family, the Domlewiskis, I guess, is the pronunciation of the name, the Domlewiskis. Domlewiskis? I can't pronounce this name if I could try. Domlewiski. I guess that's what it's supposed to be. I'm not pronouncing this at all well. Of course, we've got the guys on the phone, Mike in Florida, and Kool-Aid Man, James Montgomery, is on the phone. Am I out of my mind here? Do you see, like, a plague of lawsuits coming out of this, Mike?
Well, I think you're taking this a little bit far. I'm not a fan of aluminum bats just for that reason. And the thing that gets me, man, is Louisville Slugger has been sued multiple times for deaths and injuries from aluminum bats, and they continue to produce the hot aluminum bat for sale to the youth market, knowing it was unsafe.
Well, wait a minute.
People have died, and you don't see deaths in Major League Baseball from getting dinged in the head as a pitcher. You just don't. The aluminum bats send these balls off the bat at something like 20 miles an hour faster. The ball can make it from the plate to the mound in 0.375 seconds, which is faster than a human being can react. It's an unsafe product, and unfortunately, yeah, you don't go after youth baseball because they don't have the money. You have to go after the deep pockets. And they have the technology to replace the bat.
Okay.
They have composite bats. If it's an issue with the – they replaced wood bats because they break, and it's a money-saving issue.
Well,
so the technology exists to get rid of aluminum bats. And just like a car company that continues to sell an unsafe car because it makes money, they didn't replace aluminum bats in their lineup.
So you're saying that – okay, well, here's my question. You're saying that the wooden bat is a safer product, but they use it in the majors. The little league teams use aluminum bats. They're clearly not safer. They're clearly tested that they're not safer, but yet they still use them. Why doesn't the Little League Baseball committee, whatever, just decide we're using wooden bats from now on?
Because the National Sporting Goods Foundation has a lot of money. It's a lobbying issue, man. Those people make a lot of money selling aluminum bats.
Okay. So,
you know, aluminum bat costs something like a couple hundred bucks. A wood bat costs $50.
They're going to have to suffer through this. In that case, then they're asking for the lawsuits. Are you suggesting that $14.5 million or whatever piece they had to pay for it? Because in this case, they split it, I guess, three ways. In this particular case, it's, you know, Little League Baseball, the bat maker, and the sporting goods store. They all have to split this evenly three ways. But do you think that the numbers are going to outweigh the lawsuit, if you get my meaning?
Well, it all depends on how much money they make selling aluminum bats.
Right. So,
you ever see Fight Club?
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you mean. You're saying is, like, if this money is just a drop in the bucket, it doesn't affect them in an overall level.
Yeah, I mean, and you ever watch college baseball game? I mean, they use aluminum bats in college. Is there anything more boring than a college baseball game?
Where
the damn score is 14-18 because of the stupid aluminum bats.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. That part, you got me, because I'll tell you, the Little League baseball games, like the Little League World Series, those games are always exciting. Even if it's a no hitter, they're still an exciting game.
Yeah, the award is a lot of money, but you have to figure that kid basically died on the field. He was hit in the chest. The Don Mulawski kid.
Yeah.
He was hit in the chest. The ball probably came off at 108 miles an hour, and hit him in the chest and actually stopped his heart. He was dead on the field with no heartbeat for like 3 minutes before they started it, and then he had no oxygen to his brain.
Right, exactly.
There was a kid in Montana who got hit in the temple and died. There have been multiple deaths from these things. You know, I think it's just a matter of, the Little League being, in the pocket of the sporting goods manufacturers. Who knows, maybe they're getting kickbacks or free equipment, who knows? And that's why they stick with aluminum bats.
So you don't believe in any way whatsoever that this is going to be... I mean, I'm sorry. I've seen kids, or parents for that matter, finding an in on getting a crap load of money. I mean, this
is going to
turn...
they would much rather have a kid who's not going to be a totally dependent vegetable for the rest of his life, dude.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. But you don't believe anything I said. You don't think that it's ever going to become that rampant, and you don't believe that this award...
No way, because the ball comes off the bat too fast for anybody to jump in front of the ball. If I like your telling to lean in front of a pitch, that ball comes off at, like I said, 0.35 seconds to the mound. Nobody can react quick enough to get in front of it on purpose.
Okay, so you're saying that the $14.5 million is justified?
I mean, how much is it going to take care of that kid in ICU or whatever for the next 60 years?
$5 million.
What? For the
it
next 60
even cost
years?
That much.
He's like
He's
18
not in
years
ICU. Too. He's living
Dude, my
in
dad, my Yeah, but, my dad had that home nursing when he had Parkinson's disease, and you go through, like, $30,000 in a couple of weeks having a nurse and all that shit come around.
Let me tell you something. If you live in a nursing home, it costs you $10,000, $8,000 to $9,000 and above a month, depending on whether you have a private room or not in a nursing home. So imagine what home health care costs.
Yeah.
It
and
ain't
going to
be $14.5 million.
For the rest of his life?
He's now how old is he now? 16?
He's a teenager.
Yeah, he's a teenager.
And what's wrong with him?
He's brain dead. He got hit with a ball. What was it, at 103 miles per hour?
Something like that in his chest.
He got hit in the chest with a ball.
Whoa, wait. He's brain dead?
Yeah, because
he's brain damaged.
If he's brain dead, then he's dead.
No, yeah. He's brain damaged.
He's brain damaged. He's not brain dead. He's a functioning kid with brain dead.
How much does he function?
But he's in a wheelchair and can't take care of himself.
Yeah, he cannot take care of himself.
He can't. Is he incontinent?
He looks pretty screwed up.
I've seen the video of him. I would probably agree that he is.
So you're so how much are you saying? $14.5 million.
That's what he got. That's what he got. He was awarded. And the Little League baseball is not fighting.
Wait, he's 16. How far do you think $14.5 million is going to go in care for the rest of his life?
$5 million.
Well, and then, his parents are going to die eventually, and they're going to have to pay to put him in a home. That money's going to go quick, dude.
Then you give him guaranteed insurance. You just make sure that you pay for that for the rest of his life.
They won't do that.
Look, why not?
Well, they won't.
I would. If I own one of those companies, I'm a multi-billion dollar company, I pay for, we're going to take care of his medical expenses for the rest of his life. But I'm not awarding anybody $14.5 million. It sounds ridiculous. James, am I out of my mind here? Am I going completely nuts that you believe that this kid, because he got hit with an aluminum bat in a Little League baseball game, that the sporting goods chain that sold the bat, that all of them owe this family $14.5 million?
No, I don't think you're out of your mind at all. All right, 14.5 is excessive in the extreme, okay? And firstly, he didn't get hit with the bat. He got hit with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let me just touch on. You said the split between the companies. The Little League organization, well, they provided the bat and the ball.
Right.
The bat company and the sporting goods stores, because they probably provided the ball.
What, they
can go after the ball maker or leather makers or something like that. But, you know, it does sort of make sense that, you know, you get the trifecta there. However, I'm with you, you know, okay, it is a organized sporting event, and in sports, you take a risk. No one forced the kid out on the field, all right? No one forced, and the thing is, parents have to sign papers, right? Permission slips and things like that. You just don't go on the field.
Right. If he was forced by anybody, he's forced by his parents. I mean, as I suggested, this kid's probably sitting in the house playing video games. His dad turns around and says, you need to get out the house and join a sports team. And gets him out there, and the next thing you know, he's copped in the chest.
Yeah, but now you're talking about speculation. Let's deal with the facts.
We don't know that. It's just speculation.
But either way,
it was a conscious decision on somebody's part, and the kid had to go along with it as well, right? Because if the kid had mentioned to somebody or coach or somebody, look, I really don't want to play, or if he didn't want to play, if he was forced into it, then he would have dogged it. And, you know, you can tell when a kid doesn't want to be on the field or doesn't want to be part of the team.
Right.
Apparently, this wasn't the case.
Okay, well, listen. I just did the math. The kid is 16, okay?
Yep.
Let's say he lives till he's 65. Let's say.
Okay.
Let's say he needs...
Pardon me. He's 18 now.
Okay. Whatever. Okay, he's 18. Let's say he lives till he's 65.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it costs $9,000 a month for care. That's $108,000 a year. Times the rest of the years he may be on this earth comes out to about $5.25 million.
Wait a minute.
$5.25 million. But that's at today's rate. We're not talking about inflation.
Absolutely.
From the time he's 18 till he's 65, prices will go up.
Absolutely.
By the time he's 65, it'd probably be an upwards of
$7 to $8 million.
So what does he have?
Getting money for pain and suffering, and his parents are getting the money
suffering.
For the loss of their
You know who's getting the money for the pain and suffering? The parents. And
yeah.
you know
well,
who's going to be spending most of this money?
The parents have lost their child. Their child is effectively dead. They're never going to have grandchildren. They are going to be burdened by this kid until they die.
Okay.
Because a company willingly sold a product that has been the subject of complaints since the 70s. And they've already paid out millions of dollars in damages and continue to sell the same product. It's just like when Ford was selling the friggin' Pinto and they knew it was blowing up, people were burning to death, and they didn't fix it.
Was it the Pinto or the Fiero?
It was the Pinto that
got
rear-ended and blew up. And Ford let that happen for how many years before they finally said, oh, well, man, this is a bad idea? This was a case of a company putting profits over the safety of the people that use their product. And since the people that use their products are children, that's especially evil.
Well, okay. So you're saying Wait. Now, the fact that that's happening, you know, the federal government, and I'm not in any way suggesting they get involved, but I have to ask, the federal government has involved itself in everything. I mean, I think, just recently they had a federal commission on concussions in the NFL, okay? If this is such a widespread issue, why have there been no congressional hearings on with the Little League Baseball Commission?
I suppose you have to question how much money in campaign donations the sports equipment manufacturers have given out.
They're not the NRA, Mike. I mean, come on.
Wait a minute.
It doesn't take much to buy a congressman. You give a congressman $25,000 and he'll take care of you.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. It's true. You give a campaign donation of $25,000, that's enough to get you lobbying.
And here's my question to you guys.
Sure.
They already paid out $850,000 to the parents of a kid who died in, 2002. So they admitted, basically, yeah, our product is unsafe and it caused this issue. Did they say, well, you know what, for the good of everything, we're not going to make these dangerous aluminum bats anymore. We're going to switch to the new batted ball coefficient safe bats we know how to make. We're going to make bats out of carbon fiber or composite. No, they didn't.
Well, wait a minute.
They kept making an unsafe product.
At the tune of $800,000, I could see how the company would find that, okay, that's a plausible liability. But now this new lawsuit at $14.5 million, if they got a split in the thirds, I'm pretty sure they're looking at the possibility of going another route.
Well, the national
Let me hear what Mike was going to say. I apologize.
The High School Athletic Association, I'm reading, has already switched to wooden bats for this reason.
Is that based on this ruling or other rulings?
They switched last spring. The National Federation of State High School Association switched to the new batted ball coefficient bats, which are a more wooden-like dead bat.
Now, what were you going to say, James? I'm sorry.
I'm saying if it's going to be split by the three companies sued, then doesn't it work out to sort of around the same $800,000 for each one?
No. At $14 million.
Well, actually, it works out to be less.
No,
not at $14 million.
$14.5 million.
Right. Sorry.
A little more than that. It's a pretty penny. It's a little under $15 million. It's a little under $5 million.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of litigation. Okay, if you do something stupid with a product that's otherwise safe, you shouldn't sue. Like if you have a gun and you accidentally shoot yourself in the face while you're cleaning it loaded, that's not the gun manufacturer's fault.
Right.
The gun did what it did. There was no defect in the equipment. But, Remington sells a bolt-action rifle that for the last 10 years or something had a problem with it going off when it was jostled. And Remington got sued, and Remington lost because they knew there was a problem with their product and didn't fix it because, Fight Club style, it was cheaper just to worry about paying out some lawsuits than to retool the equipment and make a new design.
I know a lot of companies that do that. The fact that there's one group that you just cited that's actually changing their policy, that's fine. I think that should be the case. But what I find in cases like this, and this is where my argument truly lies, is that sometimes these litigations, when you see these exorbitant amounts of fees or fines, for that matter, that are levied on these companies, they're all what we call landmark cases. So we use this big, giant sort of financial gain by family foot to the tune of $14.5 million. People go, oh, remember that lawsuit? And then it forces that company to change its policy.
Yeah.
I don't think that the aluminum bat company, for that matter, is ever going to allow. I believe there's got to be a change. I think after this year, there has to be a change. With this story,
yeah.
This story gained national attention. And I
well,
think
yeah, it seems shady, man, that they kept doing it. It's not like this kid was the first one ever to get injured from a ball coming off aluminum bat. He's like the, who knows how many since the 70s, but I just Googled it and I found five cases in the last few years.
Okay, well, then I still have a question, I still have a question, and it still goes along the lines of personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the parents, again, they have to sign permission slips. If this has happened so much and people know that the aluminum bats are considered unsafe, why are you putting in your child in a league that has a bat that's unsafe?
Well, yeah, but perhaps they don't know.
Okay,
parents who grew up playing with wood bats, and they just think baseball is baseball. And if you're going to put your kid into a sport, the one he is least likely to be injured playing is baseball.
Really?
And you're much more likely to blow out an ACL playing soccer than playing baseball.
Now, according to this story by the Associated Press, it's the last paragraph, it says Little League reached an agreement with the major manufacturers in the early 1990s to limit metal bats' performance to that of the best wooden bat. Little League said in 2008 that injuries to its pitchers fell from 145 a year before the accord was reached to the current level of about 20 to 30 annually. The organization's website lists scores of metal-barreled, bat models that remained approved in use in Little League play. So they've made some provisions. They've made some changes to the bats.
Yeah, but who knows if these little small-town leagues are using new bats or not.
Like, did they recall the old bats?
I mean, yeah, an aluminum bat doesn't wear out, which is why they use them. So these kids could be using bats that were hot.
Yeah. But apparently the sporting goods company that was sued was Sports Authority. That's got to be...
It's a tough case. I mean, like I said, I'm not a fan of aluminum bats. I don't think they should be sold at all. I think I'm not a baseball fan, but I'll say that aluminum bats cheapen the game, and they're basically for guys with small egos who want to hit the ball far.
I always thought those bats were used for softball games.
Well, yeah, and like high school and college baseball, because they don't have to buy 1,000 bats a year or something.
Well, yeah, I guess there is something to be said for wanting to put it's more exciting. It is a boring sport in the first place. I'm with you, Mike. I don't like baseball at all. So you try to make it as exciting as you can. And the one thing that makes it the most exciting is hits and how far the ball goes and getting that home run. People are just bored to tears.
Yeah, getting a 12-year-old kid to hit a home run in a game, you know, is extremely exciting parents.
Extremely lucrative, right? I got a solution, though. And, you know, it's just create a new league, the Nerf Little League Association, and then nobody gets hurt.
Here's the thing, right? I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for the College World Series.
Yeah.
The very first College World Series in 1947 was California versus Yale. They used wooden bats, obviously. The score was 8-7. The 1998 College World Series was 21-14.
Damn.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, especially since nowadays it has to compete with football. All right, which is, there's still the argument on why baseball is still the national pastime when football is a lot more exciting and there's more sport. I mean, there's more scores.
There's more physical play as well. There's more action. The problem with baseball would be what it is or what it was before 1997. If it weren't for all the doping that happened during that year, that era, the long ball era, baseball lost a lot of its favor with American fans because of doping. Now you're sitting up there and you're still watching guys who are being, I mean, what, Melky Cabrera just suspended, 50 games, no pay. This guy is a former Yankee, and he's out for 50 games using a performance-enhancing drug. He even went so far as to spend $10,000 for his friend to create a phony website, that showed where he allegedly would have bought the drug from to sort of dupe Major League Baseball. It was completely ridiculous. But I mean,
so we watch football where the players are all doped up on legal performance enhancing drugs like Soma and Percocet.
Well, Percocet, is that a performance-enhancing drug?
If it makes you have less pain, you can play.
You just don't feel the pain.
Performance-enhancing drug.
Yeah, true. I guess you can look at it like that. If you can't feel the pain,
all those things are PEDs because they get you back in the game.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
But
okay.
Some player gets popped for marijuana, which is not a PED, he can't play. There you go. But you can be full of pills and play. Pills that the team gives you, by the way.
Hey, wait. So Percocet doesn't make you drowsy or
it makes me drowsy.
Yeah, Percocet doesn't make
you
drowsy.
It's,
you have a slow response time.
It's not during the game, though. The, you know, if they give you
a
certain
lot of pain,
dose, it's going to last for the game. That's all they're concerned about.
Yeah, if you have a lot of pain and you take a painkiller, you don't get high. You just don't have pain.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought the idea was to relax the muscles. Wouldn't that slow
well,
down your
soma relaxes, soma relaxes the muscles, and they'll play
now,
on
wait
that.
A minute. I've taken Percocet. I don't like it. It puts me to sleep. It doesn't take away any pain. It just puts me to sleep. So then, of course, I can't feel pain because I'm sleeping. It takes me about 3 days to recover from the shit. I don't like it.
If
now,
you read
I've
interviews
people, I've seen other people that can down Percocets like they were candy. I've seen people squish them up and sniff them up their nose.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Yuck mouth.
Oh, yeah.
You read interviews with NFL players from the 70s and 80s, and it was, you remember seeing the movie North Dallas 40?
Yeah, of course.
With Nick Nolte, where the guy says, "My ankle doesn't feel good, coach." So they shoot him full of lidocaine and wrap it up.
That's right.
Lidocaine's a performance enhancing drug in that situation.
Well, lidocaine is another form. It's just like cocaine. It's insane.
No, it's the stuff they give you at the dentist.
Yeah, I know. I had to put lidocaine on. What was it? Lidocaine? Did they put it on a patch you could put on your back when you strain your back? Yeah, I think I've taken one of those before.
I mean, the NFL is just as doped up, if not more, than any other. And I have no doubt those boys are still on steroids. Some of these dudes. You see Rob Gronkowski?
I was going to say, you say Ron Gronkowski, I was going to go Lyle Alzado. I don't think they're using drugs like that. Now, Romanowski, Bill Romanowski was a big drug user, and he was a big steroids user. But,
and probably my favorite NFL player of all time, by the way.
Oh, Romanowski?
Just because he got in a fight in training camp, some young punk stepped to him, and Romanowski crushed the guy's face. Yeah. Well, first of all, what kind of idiot? Yeah, I know he's white, but still, he's a monster. Don't start a fight with him. Are you stupid?
Yeah, I mean, well, Romanowski's got a reputation.
What's white being doing that? Has to do with his man's a monster, right?
Well,
do
any of you think that Ray Lewis is hopped up on something? I mean, he's got more energy than the entire Baltimore Ravens team put together.
But I don't know. If it was, because I thought that myself, but if it was, somebody would have found it by now. That man, I'm sure somebody's thought the same thing. He's been checked a lot.
Have you ever noticed that no, like, marquee players ever get popped for stuff like this? It's always, like, some guy who you barely heard of gets popped for, you know, not passing a test.
Absolutely.
Oh, of course. Some random guy that's not making the team any money and doesn't make a difference whether they're there or not.
But it's like if you're big roided out Rob Gronkowski, who's obviously on steroids because you look like a bodybuilder, oh, no, he's clean, sure.
I'm not going to lie. That kid is abnormally big.
He's a monster. He's like that kid that played in the 90s who's Tony Mandarich.
Oh, yeah.
The Great White Hope for Green Bay.
Yeah.
He looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right. Yeah, he's a little six-sized in general. Oh, by the way, I want to keep this sports conversation going. We've only got her for 15 minutes at the top of the hour, so just to give you guys a heads up, I don't know if you want to join in this conversation, but you might. Her name is Lisa Belkoff-Snyder. She's a national sports commentator and radio show host, and she's going to come in now. Look, I'm going to set you guys up on this one, okay? She's going to talk about Condoleezza Rice and that Texas businesswoman. I forget her name. Do you guys know this girl's name?
No, but I saw the story.
Yeah, well, you know, they just joined the Augusta National Golf Club. They're the first women to join. Now, look, I know this woman is going to be excited about this, okay? But I am not a fan of this idea, even though it's Condoleezza Rice.
Condoleezza Rice joined what?
Well, yeah, Dude, I'm with you. Augusta National is a private organization.
That's
right. They should be allowed to admit who they want. If they don't want to let blacks and Jews and women in, go start your own damn golf club.
That's pretty much. And it's not like you can't. Hey, Michael Jordan plays golf, and he's got plenty money.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley loves golf, got the worst swing in the world, got plenty money. open.
You just, Condoleezza, they let Condoleezza, right? I'm not familiar.
She was one of the first. There are two women that they let in, the Augusta National Golf Club, and one of the women was Condoleezza Rice, and they're about to get their green jackets. So they've never had a woman member. Women can play.
Do they have white and black men members?
Of course they do. There was a time in the 70s they didn't allow blacks. Now they allow blacks to be members. Now this
and
is
now
a membership.
They're allowing, now they're allowing women.
To be members. Women can play at Augusta National. Okay? There's no barring women from playing. They just bar women from being members. So now they
So decide. Why are they opening it up to women?
That's what we're going
is
to talk
it
to.
Pressure from Condoleezza
That's
Rice
ex-
and the
No,
other.
No, no. That's what we're going to ask. Lisa Belkoff-Snyder about.
So are we going to talk about the tennis referee that beat her husband over the head with
what
a coffee cup
no, she's
and
not
killed him and then left his ass dead in the house and rolled out and went to work?
Yeah.
And then
Do you know the
her
name?
Ass off and put handcuffs?
Do you know the name of the president of Augusta National, by the way? It's like the best name in sports.
Is it Hootie?
It's Hootie Johnson.
Hootie Johnson.
Hootie Johnson, a good old Southern boy.
Oh,
big, fat, white-haired redneck, Hootie Johnson. That's awesome.
I love Hootie Johnson. I love his name.
I just wonder if the first time if he met Tiger the first time, did he expect the guy to be a caddy?
Probably.
Did he expect him to be a caddy?
Wow, you're carrying a bag, boy.
Here, son, go park my car.
There's a colored boy on the course.
Well, you remember Fuzzy Zeller, right?
Hey, Fuzzy was funny.
That was hilarious.
Because, first of all, anybody who makes a joke about black people liking fried chicken, black people can't bitch about that joke because black people, for the most part, like fried chicken.
And so do big, fat, southern white people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But when you say a fried chicken joke and black folk get mad, it's like, dude,
love
I'm going to hurt you. I've been to churches, you know.
You know what? Okay, do you know the Fuzzy Zeller?
Church is good.
No, I don't. But I love fried chicken, too,
okay,
damn it.
Okay, so Fuzzy Zeller.
And hold on a second. Not KFC. I like Popeyes.
Okay. Damn.
Go ahead.
Holla.
Was walking to the It was during a break in broadcast. Fuzzy Zeller is there. He's a commentator for the Masters. He's walking into the clubhouse. Reporters stopped him and asked him what he thought about the job that Tiger Woods was doing, because this is Tiger's first Masters win. And asking him in passing, he says, oh, I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. I just hope he doesn't. And he tried to come off with a joke. It was a little fuzzy the way he said it. But
it was a little fuzzy.
A little fuzzy. He says, let's just hope that he doesn't serve fried chicken and, did he say, collard greens at the dinner?
Something
because
like that, yeah.
The Masters picks the dinner that everyone eats. So he says, I just make sure he doesn't pick fried chicken and collard greens at the dinner.
I thought it was when he had won his green jacket and they were going to choose what they wanted to eat at the dinner.
That's right. It was the Masters. It was at Augusta National.
Yeah.
Fuzzy Zeller the next day, he
actually said fried chicken and watermelon. He said them both.
Did he say watermelon? I thought he said collard greens.
Fried chicken and watermelon.
Well, I like them both, damn it. So if that's what you serve, it, invite me over.
Well, Fuzzy Zeller and
Chuck Luzon. A lot of Southern people do.
Fuzzy Zeller's his sponsorship at Kmart, they let him go, and he got a whole
bunch
of help. Yeah, he got raked over the coals for it. That's JC actually putting
God forbid you suggest that somebody might like fried chicken and watermelon. He's horrible racist, not fat.
JC, we need to get her on hold.
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. One second. Belkoff-Snyder? Yeah, he's got her. Okay, never mind.
Okay.
Right, so anyway, let's go to the top of the hour. We'll be back shortly. Stick around. We'll be back. It's Through Sun Radio.
gave him the Nobel Peace Prize without him doing anything, and he took it. He changed healthcare for millions of Americans, even though they liked what they had. He says he will tell Iran to quit making nukes and they will stop, because he is just that good. To him, the Supreme Court is nothing but an unelected group of people. You want president? He is the president. He picked Joe Biden to be his vice president just to show that he doesn't really need one. He wants us to believe no one else in America would have made the Bin Laden call. He is the most arrogant man in the world. I ultimately get what I want. Stay ignorant, my friends.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
Look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
One minute after the hour, it is Reese on the radio on this August the 23rd, 2012. Uncle Joe Biden, I'm going to put you all back in chains. Oh, this reminds me of the backlash. You know, talking about lynching Tiger in a back alley. Remember that one? Anybody remember that one? I remember it well. Remember the backlash behind that? I'll never forget it. And speaking of golf, our guest today is the nationally syndicated national sports commentator and radio show host, Miss Lisa Belker-Snyder, who is on the phone with us today. And she is going to talk about, I think, what everybody else is calling a significant day in golf with the Augusta National Golf Club. I'm sorry, I'm not exactly happy about this. I'm sure as a woman, she might be happy about this. But welcome to the show, Lisa Belkoff-Snyder. Welcome to the show, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Why aren't you happy about this?
Well, I've got my own reasons, and we'll get into that. But as from a woman's perspective, because you obviously are into sports, and I'm sure you're into golf like I am.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about this. So the Augusta National Golf Club has announced that they are going to be allowing two women to become the first members of the golf club. Although women can play at Augusta National, they've never had a woman be a member in its long storied history, and they've been criticized for it. For many years, in fact, most recently, in the past 2-3 years, they've been criticized for it immensely. But now they've made the decision. And what do you believe the reason they made this decision, or Hootie Johnson, for that matter, made the decision here?
Well, first of all, Hootie Johnson has been replaced by Billy Payne. Hootie Johnson would have never, ever allowed this to happen. Billy Payne is the chairman now, and he runs the club with an iron fist. He's slowly dragging Augusta into modern times. And the fact is, and if your listeners are into golf, they're going to know this, that when you're one of the main sponsors of Augusta National, like IBM or Cadillac or Travelers Insurance, you get a membership. But
sure.
The CEO, the current CEO of IBM, is a woman, Virginia Romney, and she was not allowed to be a member. The four previous CEOs of IBM had all been Augusta National members. So it looked like a bunch of hypocrites, and they had to do something. Now, there's two reasons that are hypothetically being tossed around as to why Augusta did this, why Billy Payne and his board decided, let's open this game up. Number one is it's a political year. And with Mitt Romney and all of his shenanigans and Obama and all of his shenanigans, there needs to be a lot of fundraising going on. And if you want to hold an event at Augusta, you got to give money. But if you want to hold an event, you have to be careful of what you come from as far as a corporation is concerned, because a lot of a lot of people will look at you as a corporation, say you're hosting something at Augusta that does not allow women to be members. I'm not going to support your corporation. I'm not going to support your event. I'm not going to support your tournament. The second thing is that Augusta could be in a bit of a deficit. Now, that is something you will never hear publicly. It's almost like a don't ask, don't tell situation because it's such a prominent figure in the golf industry. And so there's a lot of speculation going on right now. You know, the choices of Condoleezza Rice and Darla Moore, who I'll get into in a minute, was very interesting. Number one, with Condoleezza Rice, you're killing two birds with one stone. You're playing the female card, and you're playing the race card, the African-American card. And when you are from the old boys club, as Augusta is, you're thinking, wow, this is a very, very big deal. With respect to Darla Moore, she has a history. She has a history with Hootie Johnson. She worked with him on a $300 million capital campaign for the University of South Carolina. And Condi Rice was recently appointed to a very influential U.S. Golf Association committee that nominates members to their executive board. So what better choices than these two? But they need to open it up. Now, on the flip side, I spoke to many people today and earlier this week who are saying that Condoleezza Rice just rolled over and accepted, whereas she should have said, you know what, you haven't wanted me, I don't want you, but in a very tactful, political, you know, PC sort of way, thank you very much for your offer, but no thanks. That's what the liberals are saying.
So, okay, so liberals were saying that that's what she should have done. She should have not accepted it in any way and should have just sort of been a blowback by saying, hey, you didn't want me anyway, so no thanks, but no thanks, and I don't want to be a part of this club. And in other words, sending a message about its long history of excluding women.
Correct.
Okay.
Others are saying, you know, there's the phrase that, you know, it has cracked. Maybe this whole situation has cracked the glass ceiling, but it hasn't been broken. And that won't come for a very long time, if truly ever, at the end of the day.
Hmm. All right, we're on the phone with Lisa Belkov-Snyder, who is a national sports analyst, and we're talking about Augusta National Sports Club admitting two women. I here's where I have my issue, and this is why I don't agree with the decision regardless of its political implications, okay? There have been elections before. There have been significant elections before. I'll take the 92 election, Bill Clinton versus Herbert Walker Bush. I'll even go so far back as to talk about Ronald Reagan and Bush 41 versus Mondale and Geraldine Ferraro. Augusta National has always been there. And the bottom line is that they never, ever once fell to this kind of political pressure. In 92, post or into the Clinton administration, where the quote-unquote political correctness sort of meme started in our history, that Augusta National never, ever made any inroads in doing this. But this is why I've always commended them for staying to their because of their stick-to-itiveness, and that is, we are a private club. What we do here is what we do here, and that's our business. If you want a club that's just inclusive to women, you can do that. Hey, I say that about physical fitness clubs. You got Lucille Roberts, for crying out loud. If Lucille Roberts says, look, we want a place that only women can go to, you create Lucille Roberts. You know, you create Curves. You know, this is a private company. And for people to go out there and make this a political thing or ostracizing or villainizing Augusta National in this way is ridiculous. And I think that, again, I don't care. I didn't even care. As a black man, I don't care that they didn't admit blacks. As a converted Jew, I don't care that they didn't admit Jews. It meant nothing to me. The bottom line is that you're a private club. You do what it is that you wish. If you don't like it, don't go.
Well, here's my, I understand what you're saying, and I originally come from the South. I'm here in Denver now. I was educated in Boston and New York, but I'm originally from Norfolk, Virginia, where, you know, a neighbor across from the river of my grandparents' old home was still flying the Confederate flag in the 1980s. So I totally get this whole Southern aura, if you will. But you have to look at it this way. And you know, being in the media, I'm sure you come across this situation as well, that sometimes you have to sit on your hands and you're not allowed to cheer. You're not allowed to root for one way or the other way, as, you know, when it comes to teams. You have to give an unbiased perspective and whatnot. But with respect to this situation, and I'm not necessarily for or against it, I find it interesting. I'm still kind of figuring out my own, trying to get my own head around this why here, why now sort of thing, and why these two women, even though we all have a general answer. I'm thinking that, you know, Augusta, when the Masters comes there, which is obviously one of the most prestigious tournaments ever, they are taking revenue, okay? And, you know, as I'll quote you something back from the day of Hootie Johnson. He said, he's maintaining the issue had to do with the rights of any private club, not sexism or civil rights. He said, our membership is single gender, just as many other organizations and clubs all across America. This would include junior leagues, sororities, fraternities, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and countless others, and we have a moral and legal, I don't know if it's moral, but we have a legal right to organize our clubs the way we wish. And he had further continued by saying, if we change our policies, I'm not going to do it at gunpoint. I'm not going to do it, you know, with the flash of a knife. We'll do it when and if we're ever ready. But the fact is that I think they are seeing the ways of the world. You know, Billy Payne is a lot more progressive as a chairman than Hootie Johnson ever was or ever would be. He is firmly ensconced in deep Southern roots, which, you know, also relates to his relationship with Darla Moore. I mean, they've done business together. They've worked on a $300 million capital campaign together from the University of South Carolina. He's not opposed to that. I think he's just kind of trying to stick with, you know, the old roots, the old Southern way, the old gentleman's club. But I also think coming into the 21st century, many aspects of discrimination should be all, but it's not. Many aspects of discrimination are not being tolerated. And I think Augusta is being tainted by that because, again, of holding tournaments, of holding events there. What's the corporation... What is the message that a corporation is sending by holding an event at Augusta?
Well, a lot of folks
don't want to buy into that. I'll quickly just get in there very quick.
Sure.
Paula Creamer has been able to play at the Augusta National, Women's U.S. Open champion. But will she someday get to play there in an LPGA tournament? Now, LPGA Commissioner Mike Wann, back in May, he had an interview with Forbes magazine, and he thought that Augusta National should have a women's tournament. If you don't want to give membership, that's fine. But you could have a women's tournament. But he added, it's a private club. They can do what they want. It's worth noting that Augusta National is an incredible supporter of some of the LPGA initiatives. They write us a six-figure check every year for girls' golf, which helps get girls into the sport. I don't think it's a guilt check, but maybe it is. What's frustrating is that the best players now on the women's tour can't play there. And, you know, Mike Wann asks every year, can we play there? And the answer is consistently no.
All right, we're on the phone with Lisa Belkoff-Snyder, national sports analyst. Let me ask you this, Lisa, if I may call you that, by the way.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Lisa, let me ask you this. As a sports analyst and understanding Title IX, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the problem that I have. As a person who loves sports, who've had kids who've played in sports leagues as children, here's where I have a problem. Why is it that sports are only attacked when they apply to men, yet no one has ever suggested that women in their sports leagues ever do what it is that men are always pushed to do or attacked or demonized for doing. And I want to give you a perspective on this. I understand the argument about equality. I understand it fully about equality. What I'm sick and tired of hearing, especially in sports, is that in order for women to reach that level of equality to men, that the idea in order to do so must be to demonize men. In other words, knock them down a peg so that women can only work up. In other words, if it's a 10-tier system, the woman decides, I'm not going to work my way up 10 tiers. What I need to do is drop the man down 5, and then I'll meet him at 5. We're lowering the standards of sports when we have to demean the men's sports or men's, you know, in Augusta's case, the Augusta National Sports Club's position in being a, why does this have to be something that needs to be attacked and demonized? Why is it so relevant? Is this just another case of liberals or progressives, for that matter, having to take the good old boys down so they get another notch in their belt?
See, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way, Reese, at all. May I call you Reese?
Of course, of course, of course.
Okay. And by the way, I am a member of the tribe as well. So I understand how you feel about various discriminations and whatnot. Do you know what I mean by saying member of the tribe?
Yes, okay. I do. Of course.
Of course. Let's sit down. We'll have cake. We'll have coffee. We'll discuss it more. But getting to your comment, which I respect, but I don't agree with it, and I'll tell you why. I don't find that that is the case. I find, if anything, a lot of women, and I am not a feminist, I am not Helen Reddy, you will not hear me singing, I am woman, hear me roar. But I do agree with equal rights, and to quote Title IX, it says no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance, blah, 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 blah. So does that really apply to Augusta? Probably not. Not legally, not word for word, but you know, maybe ethically and maybe professionally and maybe financially. But what I'm thinking is that it's really just kind of a tit for tat, if you will. It's if you can do this, I would like to do that as well. I may not be as good as you, but by golly, give me the chance to try. Now, let me give you an example of a boy who moved from Ireland with his family. He was in, I believe, elementary school at the time, to a small town in New Jersey. And the only sport, this is, you can Google this. This came up, I think, probably in March or April. Mm-hmm. The only sport he had ever played was field hockey. So when he came to the United States with his family, and it was an elementary school, field hockey is a girl's sport. They allowed him to play through elementary school and through junior high. And he was the best guy on the girls' team. He was the only guy on the girls' team, but he was the best player.
Right.
Once he started to reach varsity level in high school, then the ladies and the school board started to throw up their hands, and they said, you know, you can't do this. And
right, just too good. I do remember this story. I remember the story well.
And I found it fascinating. And it's almost just like the female kicker who can be on the football team. So, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, the Michael Jackson situation. You know, can't we all just get along? You know,
well,
going back to
that would be Rodney King, not closely, but
Rodney King, and Michael Jackson, King of Pop. You know, you can segue it any way you want. I mean, well, truly, it just I find it fascinating. But you know, there's bigger wars and there's bigger fish to fry all over the world, with people dying and starvation and children without medical care, and people here in our own country having to choose. At this hour, at least here in Colorado, probably not on the East Coast because you're finished with dinner, but mm-hmm. having to choose, do I take my medicine tonight or do I put food on the table because I don't have money for both? And to hear this kind of banter with Augusta, and whether the women are in an uproar saying, well, it's great, but we need to do better, or the men are in an uproar saying, I can't believe I let this happen, or I can't believe that they let this happen, I find it that it's very controversial. It's a very provocative topic, but you know, it's.
I think what this did was just add on to the war on women meme that we've been hearing in the media lately. I think that this just literally attached itself to that. People were trying to find any situation that they could attract to be attached to a war on women. The sort of the other thing, you know, sort of like Augusta National, they're a rich corporation, they don't allow women, people attach that to it. It's been an argument that's brought up. Lisa, if I may, I've got at least three people who'd like to ask you a question. Can you take three questions real quick?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's go to Mike in Florida. Actually, let's go to Edward in Connecticut real quick. Edward, do you have a question for Lisa Belkoff-Snyder?
Oh, no, I don't. Sorry, I'm just listening.
Oh, okay, you're just listening. Okay, all right. Then let's
Hi, Edward. Thanks for listening.
No problem. Let's go to Mike in Florida. Mike, your question.
Hi, Lisa. You mentioned Title IX. Excuse me. You mentioned Title IX, and Title IX applies to, as I recall, college athletics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're familiar with there have been schools who've had to cancel male sporting programs to accommodate Title IX. There have been schools who've lost their baseball teams and wrestling squads because the government tells them that they have to provide certain amounts of sporting programs for women. How do you feel about that?
I feel it's awful. I feel it's terrible, the same way that I felt women's softball and men's baseball were left out of the 2012 London Olympics. And I find, you know, when it comes to schools, when it comes to colleges, you're looking at government-funded education. You're looking at public-funded education. When you look at a corporation, it's not apples and apples. It's apples and coconuts. You're looking at something completely different. You know, there's a woman who you should Google this if you haven't heard from her already. Back in 2003, and she's still around today because she commented on ESPN the other night. Martha Burke, she's a doctor of psychology. She's an American, you know, political feminist. I am not on her bandwagon. I just, you know, read about her in relationship to this story. She's the former chair of the National Council of Women's Organizations. And she's widely known for this disagreement beginning in 2002 with Hootie Johnson. Now, for her part, for her particular part, her childhood name was also Hootie, and I'm sure Hootie Johnson doesn't even want to make that relation. And she was called a man-hater, anti-family lesbian, all those things. But dealing with a private corporation versus the school and colleges, and I guess the short answer to your question is I think it's grossly unfair to the young men. I have three kids, one of whom is a boy, and he is very active in sports. All my kids are very active in sports, but he in particular is very active in sports. And if anything happened with anything that he chose in the athletic world, up until the point he goes through college or goes into the professional world, I would be devastated, and I would fight for his rights just as much as I would fight for any person's right to have the ability to participate and or compete. Now, following, let's go back to the Martha Burke situation. Following her discord with Hootie Johnson, there were two club members who resigned. One is Thomas Wyman, who's a former CEO of CBS, and John Snow, when President Bush, President George W., nominated him to serve as Secretary of the Treasury. There's also been pressure on corporate sponsors that led the club to broadcast the 2003-2004 tournaments without any commercials. So this has been rumbling for the last 8 to 9 years. And it's finally, I think, sinking in, and maybe the rumors of financial backlash is not so much a rumor anymore, that maybe Augusta does need the money, just like any other private club. There's country clubs here in Denver that have shut down due to financial constraints. People are finding other ways to spend their disposable income, or maybe they're finding other clubs that still serve the same purpose, and they can get the job done for a lot less. With respect to Augusta, I think there's a bit of a social stigmatism when a corporation decides to hold an event there, because people look at that corporation and say, well, how can you do this at Augusta when Augusta does not believe in equality? So
yeah, but
I think a lot will shake out as time goes on, especially when the ladies get their jackets this fall.
I don't really agree with that, because I will say that the quote-unquote national campaign against Chick-fil-A is, to me, a strong sign that that sort of leftist, sort of progressive attitude is absolutely being stamped out by traditionalism in this country. Because that Chick-fil-A thing should have completely destroyed that company, and it only turned around and helped Chick-fil-A, and they profited from it. I don't think
it's made the lines longer, at least
yeah,
how
exactly.
it has.
Let me see if James in Virginia has a question. James, do you have a question? Because I've got one more question. Do you have
actually, yes, I do. Well, I had a couple of points to make, but you've already made them, so I don't want to beat the dead horse. However, Miss, if I can ask you a personal question.
You talking to me, or are you talking to?
Yeah, no, he's talking to you, Lisa.
Okay.
Miss Lisa, I want to know, to you, is there a line where feminism becomes less about equality and more about man bashing? And how do you handle that?
Gosh, I hope not. And I am not a feminist. I am not. I believe in equal rights for pretty much everybody. I'm kind of, a lot of my friends and my professional colleagues call me Switzerland. I do take stands on certain things, but you know what? I'll give you a very private example of something that happened to me with one of the NFL teams in the offseason. And I will not share what team it was. I will not share what happened, but
it was
my network backed me up. Because
okay.
I basically had the, you know, with all, it was a very huge press conference, and if you follow the NFL, there was really only one big press conference that happened in May, and I was one of the few females in the room of about 250 guys from ESPN to all the major networks covering this press conference, introducing a new member of the team as their quarterback. And I asked the 600-pound gorilla in the room question when there were no other big brass ones in the room who would ask the question. And the next day, my network got a phone call from the head of PR who said, Lisa needs to know her place. Now, I and they came back by saying, and where would that place be? Is that barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen? It wasn't that the question I asked was wrong. It's just that, number one, the person they put on the podium, their EVP of football operations, wasn't prepared for the answer.
Ooh,
he was
I know
former
exactly
player.
What you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm going to go back and watch the press conference
what
now.
What is plan B for this particular team? And he looked at me and he said, what? And I'm in the back of the room and about 200 and some odd heads turned. Because I've been in the sports industry for 5 years.
Well, that's
on
a perfect
air.
Question. That is a brilliant
and,
question.
But I've been
considered.
In the PR industry since 1988. I'm like, if you're going to put your main man on stage one in front of all these people and you can't fit an answer for him before he gets up there so he doesn't make an ass of himself before all these people, because you know if nobody's saying it, somebody's going to think it. So Lisa Belko-Snyder said the question. They had made T-shirts out of it, and the answer was, we have no plan B. It is the biggest sports quote that has been retweeted, re-Facebooked, and re-quoted in a very long time. Now, when I was re-quoted, or when the quote happened, when ESPN took it out, when the newspapers took it out, they did not say, Lisa Belko-Snyder of Mile High Sports, AM 1510, FM 93.7, said, someone in the room asked, what is plan B for this particular team? And the EVP of football operations said, we don't have a plan B. And I was totally de-pantsing this EVP. It shut down the press conference, and the next day the phone call came in to say, Lisa Belko-Snyder doesn't know her place. Why don't I know my place? Because I haven't been in the industry like Rick Riley for 30 years? Or because you didn't prepare your main guy to answer the biggest question that has been circling in everybody's head?
Lisa, do not feel bad. Let me tell you this, okay? Sandra Bernhardt, the comedian, was doing a benefit up in Boston. I was on the air. She was caught during a show in Washington, D.C., suggesting that Sarah Palin be raped by five black men. I reported the story on my show in Boston. The head of the charity that she was going to be on in Boston called my show and publicly fired her on my show. It showed up on every – you can look it up. Sandra Bernhardt kicked off a Rosie Place benefit. My name doesn't appear. And they fired her on my show. It made national news. I got no credit. And the only place I got credit was on a local blog.
Unbelievable.
So I know how you feel. Okay?
The woman and the fact that she used that phrase, though, Reese, Lisa needs to know her place. What the hell is that? Are you kidding me? I need to know. Well, what is my place? Because the big sportscaster at NBC or the big wig at ESPN didn't have the cojones to ask. I asked. It's the most obvious question in the room.
So with
respect to feminism and whatnot, I'm not on that bandwagon. I just want to be treated as any woman does, as any man does, equally.
Okay. I appreciate your time. You stayed longer than they told me that you were going to be on. They told me I could only have you for 15 minutes, but you were quite entertaining and interesting. I really appreciate that. I'm glad you stayed longer.
Well, thank you. I'm actually just very verbose, so I'm not sure if I'm entertaining, but I
don't
I
worry about it.
I
know
kindness.
Exactly how you feel. Thank you for taking some questions for us, and we'll let you go. Please, we'd like to have you on again as some more sport. I like having a woman's perspective on sports. Let me ask you this. In fact, now that I have you, you heard about this case about the young man. He's 18 years old. Back in 2006, he was hit with a baseball in a little league game. His family just got $14.5 million from Sports Authority, the Little League, and the maker of the bat, the aluminum bat. How do you feel about that? Do you think it was too much, or?
You know, if it was I can't recall all the details of the case, but I did read about the award today. If it is a jury case, compensatory damages, you have, emotional damages and all sorts of damages that the legal system tends to create, and that's a whole other conversation. But if it was awarded by a jury, you're going to get that emotional tug of many, many, many zeros on the check.
Yeah.
If it was awarded by a judge and a medical device company, an athletic device company, then you're probably going to get a more reasonable amount. I mean, it's almost like the MasterCard commercial. You can't put a value on the life of a child and what this child will never be able to do. He will never be able to have a full life of marriage and children and kids and independence and whatnot. There's a chunk of his life, a major chunk of his life, that is gone, and you can't get that back. Does money replace it? No, but like they said, if you think money can't buy you happiness, you obviously don't know where to shop.
Thank you for your time. Lisa Belkov-Snyder, our guest today, national sports analyst. And, hey, we can get your show online, can't we?
Yes, you can. If you're outside of the Denver area, go to milehighsports.com. Listen every weekend morning from 11 a.m. to noon on the East Coast. And Live with Lisa will be in your ear.
Wait. You are this verbose and they only gave you an hour? You need more time. How do you get everything you want to say in an hour?
I'm competing against 31 other men.
Ha-ha.
I'm competing against 31. I am the only female on the network. The only female on the network. And I have my own sponsors, and I own my show. And that's why I have the privilege to do things like this with you, Reese, and I really appreciate it because I don't have to ask permission to go on other networks and speak what needs to be said or to share my airtime with others who don't have the chance to share their voice, and I lend them my airtime to do just that.
Well, I appreciate that as well. Look, I will tell you this. Even if I don't agree with you politically about this, the one thing that I do love and my favorite thing, and I know I'm sounds like I'm licking your boots here, but I mean it.
You're blowing smoke on my skirt.
I won't do that. My point is, I just met the phrase, but I love chicks who dig sports. My wife digs football, and that's why I love her. So I always like chicks who dig sports. That's a cool thing. It's always a cool thing in my book.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I, you know, I like it too. I'm an only child. I didn't grow up with brothers, and but I went to college at Boston University, and somebody put a hockey program in one hand and a beer in the other, and I just fell in love back in 1981.
Well, it's a pleasure having you on the show. We'll definitely have you back.
Thank you so much, Reese. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too. All right, guys, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about more news, more views, as usual, when we get back. It's Reese on the radio right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Are you tired of government picking favorites in business? Is red tape making it impossible for you to earn a living? When private businesses collude with the government to exclude competition, you get cronyism. How do you get rid of it? You can try passing laws, but that only covers up the problem. There's a better solution.
Hi, Willie Bays here with another fantastic product, Crony Clean, the spray that breaks down cronyism by breaking down government bureaucracy. Normal products attack the side effects of cronyism by passing more laws and business regulations, but Crony Clean is different. It targets the root cause of cronyism, too much government. Using proven political science, Crony Clean eliminates the government influence on business, giving everyone the right to make a living. No more concentrated benefits, no more dispersed costs. America! Why waste your time and money fighting an uphill battle against special interest groups? With Crony Clean, you have the power to fight. Crony Clean can be applied to restore economic liberty, property rights, the First Amendment, and much more. Order now and receive Crony Clean for the unbelievable price of nothing. Just pay fewer taxes. But wait, there's more. Call in the next 20 minutes and you'll receive a free gift, the dollar deflator. It forms a strong barrier to protect your dollar savings from inflation. Keep America free by keeping the government out of businesses. Order now.
Offer not available in Washington, D.C. and surrounding areas. Side effects may include more economic freedom, jobs, less corruption, and improved quality of life. If you're a politician or lobbyist, please consult your doctor before using Crony Clean. Order today.
Right back. Out of respect, they gave him the Nobel Peace Prize without him doing anything, and he took it. He changed healthcare for millions of Americans, even though they liked what they had. He says he will tell Iran to quit making nukes, and they will stop, because he is just that good. To him, the Supreme Court is nothing but an unelected group of people. You want precedent? He is the president. He picked Joe Biden to be his vice president just to show that he doesn't really need one. He wants us to believe no one else in America would have made the Bin Laden call. He is the most arrogant man in the world. I ultimately get what I want. Stay ignorant, my friend.
Reese on the Radio, we are back. 38 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com, August the 23rd, 2012. Thank you to Miss Lisa Belkoff-Snyder. I am having a problem pronouncing her last name, Belkoff-Snyder. It's a very, very odd name. It's like some things are kind of like, you know, it's like alliteration is always a key. You guys had pretty good questions there. I was quite impressed. What did everyone overall think of her? Think she was BSing about being a feminist?
Of course.
Don't you want to have her back on the show? I mean, what do you?
Well, no. I have to be honest. I want to have her back on the show, but I want to get a consensus here. I want to hear what the guys think. Edward, you're on as well. Thank you for calling back. Did you guys get the impression? I mean, Mike, you clearly did. I got the impression from the first response she gave when I said, I'm not going to agree with you on this subject, and she said, why not?
Well, I'll tell you what got me was when I questioned her about Title IX, her response was not, well, you know, those long-standing wrestling and baseball programs should not have to sacrifice so girls can play field hockey.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was a long answer. She gave a politician's answer to the question, I thought.
Now, I need to ask you a question, man, because I didn't know that you were a converted Jew.
Yes.
So when you converted, did they have to prick your schmeckle?
Yes, they did.
I figured as much.
Yes,
because
they have
to. Because you're circumcised, right?
Yes, yes.
So you have to ceremonially shed a drop of blood to the moil.
That is correct.
Ah, see, I know a lot of stuff.
That you do, Mike.
Yes,
what did that have to do with
Mike?
No.
Okay, wait a minute. Yes, he was a converted Jew, but he doesn't practice. He's not a practicing Jew.
Not as much as I used to.
He doesn't practice.
So you let some dude prick you in your schmeckle, and you don't follow the faith.
Not anymore.
Okay, can we move on? I thought we were talking about...
So they wanted that?
Can we move on?
We celebrate
I just wanted to say the word schmeckle.
Yeah.
Hey, we celebrate Christmas up in this piece.
I don't know if I do. Anyway.
I just had to say schmeckle on the radio.
Yes. Schmeckle's a good one. Okay. All right, wait. I've got another story, and of course, the Latinos are at it again, okay? Look, I don't know what anybody's going to think about this story, but I'd like you to hear it anyway. It comes from KPLA, Channel 5 in California, in Ocean City, I think that's the name of it. What's the OC? Is that Ocean City?
Orange County.
Whatever. Orange County School cancels events because they're found to be demeaning. Here's the story. And, of course, I'm not prepared. This sucks. Why does this always happen to me? I've got audio ready to go. Yeah, apparently I do. I get audio ready to go, and, of course, when I have to play it, it's not ready. Anyway, a story comes out of KTLA. It's also being reported in the L.A. Times. And now, Orange County, Anaheim's in Orange County?
Yep.
Okay, I don't know much about California. I know about San Francisco.
Obviously, you don't know about Orange County Housewives either. Because I don't know anything
about
California. But I know that Anaheim is in Orange County because I know about Orange County Housewives.
I know about San Francisco. That's the only place that I know.
Well, I wouldn't go bragging about that.
Well, yeah. Figures you'd know about San Francisco.
It's only the gay and bathhouse mecca of the country.
Letting grown men prick their schmeckle.
First of all, I want you to know that San Francisco is a lot more than that. But anyway, here's the story.
No,
it's
not.
Can I just get to the story? The damn, the Latinos are in an uproar.
Well, I'm trying to help you out here, my brother, because it ain't right.
Yeah, apparently. I've got no luck on this silly thing. Of course I've got no luck on this. Because now I got to watch the advertisement for 23 seconds in order for me to play the darn audio.
So why don't you set it up? Tell us what it's about.
Well, okay. So apparently high school students for the past 3 years have been holding sort of like a pageant, if you will. And it's a day where all the kids are allowed to come to school on the senior day to dress up at the beginning of the school year. Well, they've been doing it for 3 years, but now it turns out that the Latinos are offended. Finally, the Latinos have figured out 3 years later, probably because English is a second language, they finally figure out that this might be offensive.
Why is it offensive?
Well, it's called Senoras and Senoritas Day. Okay? Senoras and Senoritas Day. Here's the story.
Orange County High School has canceled events during Senior Activity Week after some called them demeaning to the Latino culture. School administrators who approved the activities are now being made to take sensitivity. Training. KTLA's Eric Spillman is in Anaheim Hills this morning. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Jessica. Every year for the last three
of course
years here in June, they have a senior activity week here at Canyon High School. They have an event called Senioritas and Senoritas event, and students come dressed up on that day, and it's that event that has really caused outrage among some students. We're going to show you some pictures from that day from last June here in just a second, but we want to talk to Jared Garcia Kessler, who is the student who first complained about this whole thing. What do we have kids dressed up as? And we'll show some of the pictures.
Students were dressed up as stereotypical Mexicans, gardeners, border patrol, arresting cholos. We also had
okay, this audio is not going to work. Okay, so all the kids came in dressed in gang wear. They were wearing plaid shirts buttoned at the top. The girls were dressed in sort of like with their hairs in ponytails. Even one girl came who was wearing I guess some sort of pillow in her shirt, dressed up to look like a pregnant woman with a stroller. They've been doing it for 3 years. But now this kid who he's talking to, this Kessler Rodriguez guy, whatever his name is, apparently he was the one who complained to the school board, and then they went around and, you know, they went and had an investigation causing these kids to all get into trouble. They can't hold the event anymore, and most people are saying that this is offensive. They've been doing it for 3 years, and now it's deemed offensive. But they're saying that it enforces racial stereotypes.
Dude, have you ever been to California?
No. Other than San Francisco, no.
Okay, I've been to East L.A., right? The barrio. You know what I saw when I drove around? Dudes with plaid shirts buttoned at the neck, with shorts with long white socks and black shoes, and pregnant teenagers with ponytails pushing baby strollers.
Yes, but now they're being said that... They said
it's not racist if it's true.
That's what I say. If it happens, I mean, it'd be something different if these kids were pulling it out of their ear.
They could say they were saying
Mexicans eat dogs or something. Yeah, I would say that's offensive because Mexicans don't eat dogs. Koreans eat dogs, but Mexicans are in gangs and have babies when they're 12.
But not all Mexicans.
But the ones who do it are Mexican.
Well,
it's like not all Arabs are terrorists, but all terrorists are Arabs.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's the way you have to look at it.
I'm starting to feel like Sam Kinison and Bill Hicks. When the hell did people's right not to be offended become such a thing? You have no right not to be offended in this country. Grow a set of balls and a thicker skin, pussy.
I couldn't agree more. But now look, so with that said, Mike, do you believe that blackface is offensive then?
No.
Really?
You know, just some dude dressed, as long as the Wayans brothers can do white chicks, then I think Ted Danson can do blackface. If Dave Chappelle can do whiteface, then don't bitch to me if somebody does blackface. Now, if they do it and they, you know, they play a banjo and eat fried chicken and catfish and watermelon while they do it, it's a little bit of a step. But, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
James?
Oh, here it comes.
Here it comes. You know, it's just, you know, if it's used to make fun of a race you barely understand, then I think then a question has to be asked. To use it as the most negative things about the culture that comes out, that's what you play up on that
day.
Okay,
my friend James, have you ever watched Def Comedy Jam?
Def Comedy Jam, yeah.
You ever watched Def Comedy Jam? Have you ever seen a black comedian on Def Comedy Jam do his stereotypical white voice where he's like, oh, hey, Bob, how you doing? I can't dance. I have a small penis.
It is sort of the stock response.
Yeah,
by
there
black
is never a positive representation of white people on Def Jam, and nobody says squat. You know why? Because white folks can take a joke.
Well, you know what? I think the problem is that we're talking like decades in between, and between when that was not good, and when blackface wasn't good and meant a whole lot worse than when, you know, black comedians started impersonating white people, or even blackface in a movie.
But blackface was not directly tied to hanging people. I mean, Al Jolson didn't discriminate against people. He was like a pretty liberal Jew.
Yeah, he was. That he was. Very true. Hey, I'll give you an example. And this is why I say that I am kind of offended at the fact that people were outraged by this. I often talk about that case about the Gloucester teenagers, the girls, the 17 girls that were pregnant at Gloucester High School, right? I was at the forefront of that. There's a Lionsgate documentary that I'm a part of in all of that. Well, weeks after this story broke and got national headlines, the town north of Gloucester is a town called Beverly in Massachusetts. And in Beverly, they have
this.
Now,
this is a pregnancy pack, right?
Yes,
right.
The pregnancy pact, exactly.
And they got some homeless guy to knock him up or something? That was
one girl was knocked up by a homeless guy, yep. And all the girls, no girl was over the age of 17, and no guy who got them pregnant was under the age of 20.
Classic.
Yeah, and now Beverly, on the 4th of July, Beverly has their annual 4th of July parade. And people in the community can participate in it, and they make their own floats. So Beverly had a float where one big float had a whole bunch of white girls with balloons under their shirts pretending to be pregnant, and they had in front of the float a big black or brown phallic symbol that was shooting out white liquid.
Wow.
Now, wait. Now, this was a child-friendly event. There were kids at the parade. People were outraged in Boston. But it was hilarious because they were just, you know, they were taking a common interest story, a current event story, and making a mockery of it. But people were upset because, of course, there was a story that one of the girls had gotten pregnant by a black guy, whatever it was. But to put the brown phallic symbol shooting out a white liquid that I think was like colored water or like powdered milk or something, that was...
Wow.
Listen to me. I was in the studio on that day falling on the floor watching that video. It was just too hilarious. But that's what it should be. It'd just be funny. Of course, the only thing that made this worse was the Boston Herald then reported the story the next day. Turns out a reporter went down there to find out that the year before, that the town of Beverly had more teen pregnancies than Gloucester did the year before. So that was actually brilliant. So it was a big slap in the face to the town of Beverly. But I still thought it was funny, inappropriate for children.
You come from the world of stand-up, and I'm kind of a comedy nerd, and I'm of the belief that nothing offends me. If it's meant to be funny, then if somebody else finds it funny, then, hey, you know, maybe it's my fault if I'm not laughing, but I'm not going to get pissed off at you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It must be my issue.
No, I don't think it's your fault if you're not laughing. I mean, I'm sort of the same. If it's, even if it's an off-color or offensive joke, it's funny, I'll laugh. I'll get upset later, but at least I laugh first. But, you know, at least be funny.
I mean,
there's not even funny.
There's not a surplus of white people jokes, okay? That's kind of lacking. But I've heard some comedians crack on white folks, and there's some funny shit out there.
Yeah,
I don't get
offended.
You know, yeah, we may have small penises, but we run the world, so it's a nice trade-off.
Oh, there you go. That's funny.
Anybody remember the book Truly Tasteless Jokes?
Wait, can I say something real quick? Okay. So, Mike, really, the comedians, I mean, that's really a farce. Not all white men have small penises. And not all
No, black not at all, but most of us have good credit.
And not... right about that. And not all black men have large penises.
It's true.
Not at all. I was in the military, and I've probably seen more penises than you, Mary, and I know that's not true at all.
Well, hold on. You know, I get ragged on for going to San Francisco. This guy gets a pass. But anyway, let me just say this.
I was about to say. Never mind. It's just over now. It's past.
And do you know how many times I had to shower naked with other dudes, like, because I had to?
Well, I know.
How many times were... Whatever.
Somebody's going to shoot at this one, or do I have to?
The book, Truly Tasteless Jokes. When I first got that book, if you guys remember this book well, they had all of these jokes based upon race or some sort of ethnicity, something along that line. My favorite part of that
book... they tried to ban that book.
Yeah, I know. My favorite part of that book was when you got to the white jokes, my favorite joke in that was, what did the white guy have for dinner? And the answer was a T-bone steak and some Chianti. It wasn't a joke. It was that there are no white jokes.
I got a joke for you. Okay. Pablo, Juan, and Julio are standing on the edge of a cliff. They decide they're going to have a contest to jump off the cliff and see who hits the ground first. Who wins?
Pablo, Juan, and whom?
Julio.
And Julio.
Pablo, Juan, who hit? I don't know. Whom?
Society.
What?
That's rotten. Wow. All right. So I have one. All right. I have one. It's still a white joke.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mike. I had to kind of explain that.
I apologize. I missed that.
Like, what?
I got it now. That is funny. Go ahead, James. What's your joke?
Okay. Ron walks into a doctor's office. He says, "Doc, I don't know what's going on with me, but my whole body hurts. Everywhere just hurts." And the doctor says, "Okay, just explain to me what's going on." The woman touches her wrists, screams in pain. The woman touches her leg, screams in pain. Woman touches her cheek, screams in pain. Doctor looks at her and says, "You know, oh, I'm sorry, I told the joke wrong."
I know the joke already.
All right.
You know, John.
You have a broken finger.
Yeah. Because your finger's broken, dumb blonde.
All right, I got one more.
Okay.
A black man and a black woman are in a car. Who's driving?
The cop.
The cops.
The cops. What did the black kid say when he got diarrhea for the first time?
Say that again?
What did the little black boy say when he got diarrhea?
I'm melting.
I'm melting.
All right, my favorite black joke of all time is, what has 10 legs and goes, ho-dee-do, ho-dee-do, ho-dee-do?
Five black guys running for an elevator.
Black girl, yeah, there you go. Why are you telling my joke, man?
I'm sorry. Okay, final joke.
Not to bring back the news here, but Mary and Barry
did
a press conference today where he said that he is a jobs czar.
What does that even mean?
I guess that means he's been getting more hookers and buying more crack.
He's on the payroll.
You know,
he must be
hookers and drug dealers in jobs.
I hope so.
Drug dealers got a steady income.
Dude, seriously, you're like, I don't want to crack on black people, but how the hell is Mary and Barry still a thing? How is he?
I don't know, man. Even I gotta say.
Wait, Mike, have you ever been to D.C.?
Yeah. Well, I only did like the typical touristy stuff. You know, I went to the Smithsonian and all that good business.
Did you visit Union Station?
Probably.
Dude,
the mayor got caught smoking crack with a hooker, and his response was, "The bitch set me up."
You've only seen a portion of D.C. You went through the nice parts of D.C. in the daytime.
I'm not stupid.
and that you're answering your own question. That's how his dumb crack smoking hookah buying ass got voted back in.
Hey, you know what?
Even
if you know what, even a drug dealer who gets arrested gets out of jail, and people still buy drugs from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So,
hey, Reese.
Yeah, go ahead, Edward.
I was going to say, I don't have a joke, but it's more of a funny observation that someone told me. That if the founding fathers could look at Black America today, they would have picked their own damn cotton.
I have seen that bumper sticker quite a few times, man. Dude, that bumper sticker is pretty prevalent down here.
Are you serious? That's a bumper sticker?
I've seen that bumper sticker. It says, if I'd known this, I'd have picked my own damn cotton. Hey, so are you still getting Sean Quali on the show tomorrow?
That's correct.
I just sent him an email to confirm. Now, he did confirm with me the other night, so he said it was confirmed. However, I did send him a follow-up email on Facebook to reconfirm. He has not answered me back, but he may not be on Facebook. I don't have his regular email, so hopefully he will be on because...
Tell him it's not CP time.
You guys don't mind if I bait him a little bit, do you?
Are you kidding me? It wouldn't be a show without it.
All right.
Are you kidding me? I'm expecting everybody to be there.
Everybody, he thinks I'm black, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he made that assessment. We've had them on the air. We've had him on the air, I think, two other times. On the show two other times, and, you know, I was talking to him, and he just called, you know, of course he referred to me as sister, so I know he thinks I'm black, I don't, you know, so he made that assessment because of the way that I spoke.
Well, didn't he see your picture on Facebook?
Huh?
Didn't he see your picture on Facebook? I mean, you might pass for a high yellow, but not really.
Yeah, I mean, now he's seen my picture on Facebook. I don't know if he correlates me. I don't know if he correlates that
back by injection
with who he's spoken to before.
Have you ever heard, I know we're running out of time, have you heard the crazy nonsense the Nation of Islam believes about Africa, by the way? They believe white people were created by an African scientist as a failed science experiment, and that the Africans had flying machines and advanced society before the white man showed up.
Well, that's believable.
But, well, yeah, of course, because they went from flying machines to huts made out of buffalo shit.
Oh, God. It's never a dull moment, dude.
Do they have buffaloes in Africa?
What about
the wrong business, dude? You ought to be in comedy.
You gotta go. I love you guys. I will talk to you tomorrow. Same bad time, same bad channel. Sean Quali on tomorrow, 8:15. Be here. And trust me, it's gonna be heated. You have to take another hour.
Be here and have no fear.
Yeah, there you go. We'll see you guys tomorrow.